Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of the hour is a dear, dear lady by the name of Christine Del Poggio. She is one of the dearest and best to my heart. I have known her for many a year. And Christine has shared this broadcast in the past, and she rejoins me today, and I promise you a consummate conversation concerning all things related to the gospel. You will love Christine. But first, I trust you will love Psalm 23 as we continue apace, please. And I read afresh, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As I am often wont to say, and have done so from these microphones, what kind of world would it be if we did not grow up, if we were not nurtured, if we did not breathe the air of a world in which the ethos and ethic of the 23rd Psalm fill the air? We are blessed in the United States of America. We may be jettisoning now our Judeo-Christian heritage to great trauma and loss. It's a horrible thing, but the reality is there remain vestiges. And for those of us who breathe the air of a world permeated, at least by way of an ideal, often lived out in the breach, but an ideal to be aspired after, the 23rd Psalm is at the core, if only because at the core of the psalm is the presence of the Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. Elsewhere in the world, the wants pile up, and they are staggering, and they are implicit in the texture of, and tenor of life. But here in the West, we've always believed, for instance, when crisis strikes, that the Calvary will be coming to recover and to restore and to help us. Well, that's all the product of the fact that we have been grounded in the truth of the Christian world life view, that Jesus himself has been given a seat at the table, maybe not always honored as rightly as he should be, even often not as honored by the church as he should be, but still, he has been the standard, and what he has taught and what he is like has been the standard. And we are the blessed because of it. We are the beneficiaries of the presence of Christ at large throughout the history of the Western world. Even during the Second World War, so great a man as Winston Churchill understood that his endeavor was to rescue and to save what he himself called Christian civilization. The Lord is our shepherd, and therefore we shall not want. He leads us to lie down in green pastures, very peaceful, and fruitful pasture. He leads us beside still waters. It's a beautiful thing. Up until recent times, we have lived within secure borders. We have not had to worry about external aggression or attack. We have lived in alongside of and amidst a kind of still water. This is all the blessing of the gospel, the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. They will not understand it within the communistic realm. They will not understand it within the hardcore bamboo curtain of the Far East. But we understand it because we have experienced it. And again, we are its beneficiaries. We are a people who know the peace of Christ, the peace that only Christ himself has to give. Praise God. And he restores my soul. We are a damaged, fractured people because of the advent and presence, the pervasive presence of sin. But God restores us to himself. He makes us right with him. We can go before him with a peaceful conscience and know that we have access to the Father, courtesy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This is classic Christian theology, classic theological formulation. But for the Christian, it is a classic reality. Praise the Lord. We know the love and the peace of Christ and the joy of his salvation. I don't know what I would have done without his love, his peace, and his joy over recent years. It has been one trauma, one travesty after the other over the last 5 or 6 years. But the presence of Christ has been my anchor. And I praise God. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has continued to maintain his hand upon my shoulder. He has continued to instill his spirit within my soul and spirit. He has continued to give me direction. And people in recent times have asked me if I've given thought of retirement. The practical reality is I couldn't afford to retire. But even if I could, how does one retire when one's expanse of vision has widened and deepened, God giving new understanding of where I'm to go and what I'm to do? When he lays open a field, you follow. He is, after all, the shepherd. You follow the shepherd, and he will not lead you astray. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. I am wont to think of my beautiful Welsh grandmother as she lay in one of the old oxygen tents back in the mid-60s. She hadn't been able to speak or sit up for weeks on end. And for a Welsh woman, that's a brutal thing, not being able to speak. My mother sitting quietly, but grievously by her bedside, quietly weeping. And my grandmother sits up in the bed upright and for the first time in weeks and with perfect Welsh diction. I shall lift mine eyes up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. The doctor walked in just as that was playing out. He was utterly staggered. What an extraordinary witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. All of this speaking of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. There's a reason why in the Word of God we are given to be overcomers. Jesus himself says, be not fearful, be of good cheer, for I myself have overcome the world. And he gives us the grace and the equipping to be overcomers as well. My beautiful guest and my sweet sister and lovely friend is an overcomer. You will be charmed and edified by his story in just a few moments. But David also says this, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I shall do so forever. What is the house of God? The house of God is wherever God is. The house of God means the presence of the Almighty. And the Almighty has come amongst his people. He comes to settle. He comes to dwell. He comes to guide and to direct and to bless. God has a covenant with his people, and he will not violate that covenant. There's a wonderful text in the Old Testament amongst the prophetic volumes wherein he says that as the water comes to a certain point along the seashore and then stops, my covenant shall not stop. It will stop. That natural experience of nature, that will stop sooner than will my covenant. God's covenant is eternal, and he who has established it is faithful and true. That's what the young people of our day and age today are now missing. There is no stability. There is no security. There is truly no one to whom they can any longer look in the main, because God has been forsaken, the very one who will not forsake us, the very one who is faithful to us, even, the scripture says, when we are unfaithful in our disposition towards him. The house of God is where he is, and he is where his people dwell. And therefore, if you would look to find the Lord, you will look to find a gathering of his people. Not an easy find, very much as it would be to find a good lawyer or a good psychiatrist. They're not always easy to find. But you pray and you ask the Lord, and he will lead and direct you. And when you find a faithful and loving fellowship, there's nothing like it. And if I may just say this, being in the run of a number of funerals that I'm conducting, people losing loved ones, it's a very grievous thing. And they cling to the hope that they will see those loved ones yet again. I pray they do. It's a beautiful and natural desire. I pray that they do. But the biblical reality is that we will spend eternity in the company of fellow saints. And by saints, I mean those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God. That classic hymn, "When the Saints Go Marching In, We Go Marching In Together." And we convene in the presence of the Almighty together. We will know one another by name, and God will know us and call us out by name. And we will gaze upon him, a.k.a. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of God, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of God all of the days of my life, that I may gaze upon his beauty, and that I may seek him in his temple. That phrase, all the days of my life, it takes me back to my childhood, when in the 70s I would come home from school and watch the NBC soap opera, Days of Our Lives. To me, it's garbage now. But in those days, it was built around family. There was a right and wrong, a moral ethic. And I can still hear the voice of the film actor MacDonald Carey with that hourglass before you and a bluish backdrop behind it. These are the days of our lives. Well, I'm not certain it will be MacDonald Carey's voice. I think it will be more properly the voice of Jesus Christ, a voice that will be filled with warmth and with love and with hospitableness. It is a voice that will warm our hearts, a voice that will call us to himself, and we shall dwell and be with him literally forever. And how does one define forever? You and I are a people of time, creatures of time. We grow old. We are a people of finitude. We can only be in one place at a time. I'm 6'3 with broad shoulders. Beyond that, it's not me. We are a people of finitude, and we are a people of limited time. Doesn't the scripture tell us in the Psalms that we're to ask the Lord to help us to number our days aright so that we can live our lives wisely and fruitfully? But when we all get to heaven, we're now dealing in the realm and in the coinage of eternity. Time has no place. It does not signify. How would one define eternity? I'll define it this way, a kind of pet definition. Eternity is to be defined as, and I quote, forever and a day. That's how long it is. And you and I shall be in the presence of God. We will have purpose. There will be no pain, nor sorrow, nor travesty, nor trial, nor trauma. There will be nothing but joy. The joy of the presence of the Almighty. It's been said of God himself that he is the great Eureka. He is one who is by nature joyful. And we will be filled with joy and with peace. And we will know his love. No longer the agape, the sacrificial love. There's no need for sacrifice. But the holy and beautiful love of Christ will abide and abound. We will be its beneficiaries. And yes, the scripture indicates that we will have something to do. There will be a work to pursue and to accomplish. And it will be a beautiful work. And no one will hate going to work. And there will be no problems at work. It will be the work that God invests in our lives. It will be Godward. It will be God-centered. God will be at the core of it. And all will be well. I love how Lady Julian of Norwich put it, and I shared these words at my beloved wife's memorial service. In time, all will be well, all will be well, all will be well. If only because God himself is the shepherd, and therefore we shall not want. Praise God. Brad Lacey with the great message. We will return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my august pleasure to bring back to these microwaves my very dear friend and my sweet sister in Christ and my esteemed congregant. Her name is Christine Del Poggio. We have been partners in Christ and family in Christ for some 30 years now. Christine joined us on the broadcast last year. And frankly, it was one of the best broadcasts we've done. Aww. And Christine, so I have every reason to think this will be as well. God bless you, and thank you for coming back.
Well, I am so, so happy to join you today. And I loved your homily. It was wonderful. And I'll have to go back and listen to it when I go home.
Well, God bless you for saying that. I wish the audience, however, could see you because you're looking breathtakingly beautiful today.
Well, thank you.
But they'll hear the beauty come through the voice, because the beauty of Christ has flooded your soul for 30 or more years. Praise God. I'd like for you, Christine, to share your narrative, your story. Give the audience a sense of who you are and how you came to Christ and what brings you to this microphone today. You have a very special story.
Thank you, Brad. Well, like you said, 30 years ago, my whole life changed. But prior to that, I was I just wanted to start out with my younger years. I was raised Catholic, and I knew about Jesus. I was taught about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus until one day my college roommate said to me, Christine, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And I said, yes, I'm going to go to heaven. And she said, well, how do you know that? And I said, because I'm a good person.
You knew of Christ, but you didn't know him.
Yes.
But you were confronted with the truth of the gospel amidst a very critical moment in your life. You had a detour, to put it mildly, a very painful, abrasive detour that changed everything. Tell us about that detour. You were in Africa.
Yes.
Tell us about what happened.
Okay, well, I was in Africa, and it was to be a 7-week overland expedition. And I had just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and gone to the Serengeti when I was in the back of a pickup truck that turned over. When I woke up, I was paralyzed, totally paralyzed. I could not move. I could hardly breathe. I couldn't move a muscle. I knew, however, that pain was a good sign that at least I had that.
You were in terrible pain, but that made you fully aware of the fact that you were alive.
Yes.
But you were on the other side of the world. It was absolutely frightening. And you had no choice but to cry out to God.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I did.
And when you cried out to him, what happened?
Well, like you said, I couldn't move, and I did need the Lord. So what happened was, when I was on Zanzibar Island, they knew I needed the best help, the best kind of help, and I was in a third world country, and they couldn't help me out. So they got a plane and flew me to Nairobi, Kenya, where I had a doctor from Italy do my surgery. He put my neck back together, and he did it perfectly. I also had nurses there that knew Jesus, and they put headphones on me, and they prayed with me, and I knew that's just what I needed, and I was all the way away from my family, and yeah.
I'm always struck, Christine, something that's built into my theology at its core is what I call providential orchestrations. When God has a hand upon our lives, he orchestrates events and people. Mm. He orchestrated, I mean, not every hospital setting was going to be filled with those Christians. He knew those were the ones you needed to come into your life at just that right moment.
Yes.
And it gave you reason to live, did it not?
It did.
Because were you not, for a considerable period of time, you wrestled with suicide?
I did. It was a life-transforming, being an active adult, riding a horse, traveling the world, and having all of a sudden nothing. I looked in the mirror and I hated the person that I saw. I couldn't do my hair. I couldn't put my makeup on. I couldn't move. I was jealous of my cat that could walk up and down the steps, but I couldn't. I went to live with my aunt, who was such a beautiful woman, and she cared for me. She did everything for me, got me out of bed in the morning, made my food, and kicked me in the butt when I needed a kick in the pants to try to do things. But yeah, I considered suicide, even though I had everybody caring for me, my doctors, my nurses, my family. Everybody was caring for me, but I knew I needed supernatural help, and I cried out to Jesus, please help me. I held on to the verse, and God can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Philippians 4.
But I held on to Romans 8:28, and God works all things together for good for those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. That was the most powerful verse that I had. Who else could I call out to? But God helped me.
At every turn he did. He put the right people in your path in the African hospital.
Yeah.
He actually had the right surgeon in play, an Italian surgeon who was impeccable. As I understand it, often when patients came back to the States, that the surgeries would have to be redone. Mm-hmm. Yours was not required redone. Mm-hmm. Your lovely aunt brought you, and that proved to be the most perfect place for your recovery.
Yes. She had just retired at the age of 49. Now, who retires at the age of 49?
Those who are called upon by God to care for one of his own. That's
who. And she had the world open to her. She could have done anything else, but she decided that she wanted to care for me, and she opened her home to me.
Well, from what she has told me, there was nothing else she could have done.
Yeah. She's just but care magnificent, for you. Yes. And she is truly sent from above.
There's no question. And one day the two of you were taking a walk, and you walked past our lovely little church, and you placed a phone call.
Wow.
And that was also part of the history, because you became an integral part of our church. Mm. My lovely wife came alongside of Barbara, in a sense, that your aunt and Peggy were your helpmates and your guides. And God took care of you.
He really did. Yes, I had to make that phone call. It was urgent. It was the most urgent phone call I ever had to make. I needed help. I just didn't want to live anymore. But then I did go to this church, and we prayed and we sang, and we went to concerts, and it was just a wonderful time. My life changed at that time.
We had the privilege of watching you grow. We also had the privilege of bearing witness to a woman who wasn't simply growing, but by virtue of her growth was also beginning to minister as well, and to recognize a sense of the witness for Christ that you had. I mean, he worked a miracle in your life.
Yes, he did.
And you wanted the world to know who he was. We bore witness to that, as we still are 30 years later.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
But Christine, we must take a break. Brad Lacey and Christine Del Poggio, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Christine Del Poggio returning with another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Christine, you've been sharing your story of how you came to faith, of the trauma that beset you, and how you began a course of overcoming, that God set you on a beautiful path. Mm. He put the right people in place, both in Africa and back here in the States.
Right.
Your lovely aunt, you lived with her. You found our lovely church.
Mm-hmm.
And you began to take off.
Yes.
I'm not saying it was overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting you didn't have still moments of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But you did begin to take off.
Yes.
Slowly and steadily and with increasing rapidity.
Mm-hmm.
Having taken off and having begun to soar, if I may, because over the past 30 years you've done some wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone to college. You're working at both the Philadelphia and the Elmwood Park Zoo over in Norristown. You've spoken of your story before audiences. You've even been on with your beautiful aunt, The View, on television. You were invited to share your story.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a compelling adventure.
But what
I'd like to ask you, because I think this is important for the audience to hear, I know it is for me, what have you learned through all of this? Notwithstanding your disability, you are still learning. What have you learned? What are the ingredients that have allowed you to grow here?
Well, certainly my trust in the Lord. He told us to trust in him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And that's exactly what he did. He directed my path.
If I may.
Yes.
This was true of my wife, Peggy. It's true of our lovely friend at Church Eva. It's true of you. You are an embodiment of what it means to put one's trust in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an embodiment. You are not who you are without that.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, again, I wish that the audience could see this, dear lady, but you will hear Christ through her voice. There is a beauty here, a spiritual beauty that I have always found staggering.
Oh, thank you.
There was a significant gap during which we weren't around one another. Since your return, I see how your trust and I see how your witness, there's been a deepening of purity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a purer, nothing less from the earlier day, but we're always growing.
Mm-hmm.
But your trust and your witness and your embodiment of Christ, it's purer and deeper and even more beautiful still. So as you're learning to put your trust in him, trust me, we're learning to put our trust in him because of you.
Oh, thank
you. But please, you're welcome. What else?
What else? Well, you know what's really beautiful about the Lord? As I get older, I've discovered that I need more and more help. And God has provided that for me. And I have seen the beauty of humanity. the loving kindness of humanity. It was just last week I was at BJ's, and in the wintertime my legs get so stiff I can't bend them. So I was out there, it was nighttime, it was so dark and it was windy, and I needed help. And I said, Jesus, please let somebody help me. Along came this fella, and he said to me, can I help you? And I said, you know what? I said, you're an answered prayer. I said, yes, I need help. And he started to move my legs and bend them, and my leg was bleeding. And I said, oh, I forget it. You know what? My leg's bleeding. I don't want to get your blood on you. He says, I don't care about your blood. And he kept on helping me. And then he said to me, do you want me to wait with you while your van warms up? And I said, yes. I said, and so he sat with me. He sat with me. A few weeks later, I got a letter in the mail. I thought it was from my insurance company, but here it was from him, and he knew my father. Apparently, he saw my ID in my van, Mike, from the zoo, and so he said, it was really nice to meet you that day. I hope you don't think I'm a creep, but God does those kind of things. He sent an angel. This guy was a real angel to me, but, you know, I've just discovered just the pure beauty of people and their kindness, and that's the joy for me.
If he was a creep, he was a lovely creep.
Yeah, he was. Joe from East Falls. Thank you, Joe. Okay.
If Joe is listening, God bless you, brother. You helped a very dear sister and friend of mine, let alone a servant of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Christine, I again, in our earlier segment, we talked about providential orchestrations, God raising up who and what we need at just the right moments. I've learned this as a pastor. As you know, I pastor a small church, and small churches come with very unique and singular challenges, not least of which being needed personnel to do things. And I have found over 34 years, even before I knew I had the need, God knew there was a need, and he would bring people in.
Yeah.
And over time, I came to, if someone walked through those doors and settled in, I learned to ask God, Lord, why have you brought this person here?
Yeah.
Something's coming down the pike, and we're going to need him or her.
Mm.
Now, you've been brought back to us.
Yes.
And therefore, I think for some reason known to the Lord, you need our lovely little fellowship
again. I really
do. But I'll tell you right now, I already know any number of reasons why we needed you back.
Aww.
And he restored you to us.
Yes.
I praise God for this. And so these people are God's provision, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and
yes.
I've needed them for a long time, and I tell you, this little church is so warm. The people are so kind and loving, and I want to thank you for teaching me more about Jesus and for the loving kindness that you show me every time I see you.
Well, it's my privilege, Christine. You're not difficult to love, believe me. However, I do have to correct you. You remember I corrected you the first time we were together, sweetly and affectionately.
Mm-hmm.
I do the same now. You can't speak of our little fellowship. You have to speak of our lovely little fellowship.
Okay, forgive me. Lovely fellowship. Yeah.
Now, you know, and as part of the fellowship, you have a presence. It's an unmistakable presence. Mm. You walk through that door, and everyone...
Well, I think a lot of it is my wheelchair. I think that sets me apart from a lot of other people.
Well, but the wheelchair is a conduit by which you yourself are set apart, and we are called to be a people set apart.
Mm.
When you sit in church, you see the sign to the left of the lectern, and it's from 1 Peter 2. Mm. We are the people of God, chosen, set apart for him, a people set apart who belong to God. So that wheelchair gives you... A conduit to being set apart yourself.
Yeah.
As such, you've told me that you believe you're called of God to be a role model.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. Well, I might be in a wheelchair, and I've had a lot of adversity in my life. And it's certainly not a pleasure to have to get around in a wheelchair. But God changed my life that day that I broke my neck. That was a turning point for me. Because I am so happy now. I have more joy now than before my accident. I am just so hopeful now, and I want to share that with other people. So I feel like it's so easy to have this wheelchair to be a witness for Jesus, because people always ask me, what happened to you? You know, and some people say, well, how come you're so happy? And I tell them that I pray a lot, and I ask God to help me. And I love the zoo. I wanted to work at a zoo since I was in high school, but it didn't work out for me at that time. But 50 years later, now I'm at not one zoo, but two zoos helping out. And he just is so So faithful. God is faithful.
You have a love for the animals as well as a love for people, as well as a love for the Lord. It's all part of His created order, is it not? You know, your wheelchair sets you apart, you say, and I would agree with you. But when you go to the scripture, look at someone like Jacob in the Old Testament. Jacob was a bit of a deceitful conniver, and God had to break him of that. It took years. And in the final analysis, there's this classic text in scripture where he's wrestling with an angel. It actually proves to be God Himself. Oh. And when that wrestling match is done, Jacob's hip is bent, is kicked out of place. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of his days, he walked with a limp. But that limp was the visceral manifestation of what now set him apart.
Yeah.
He was now humbled of God so that God could use him.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, Christine, along with my cardiac condition, which up until 3 years ago was critical, much earlier in my life, it was psychological malady. And God used that to set me apart. But He used it so that I could be set apart and made ready for His purpose.
Right.
And as you say, there's nothing quite like it when that joy floods our soul.
No.
It makes happiness look cheap and tawdry. Mm-hmm. But this is Brad Lacey and Christine Del Poggio. We return for one final round of The Great Message on the other end of the commercial divide. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Christine Del Poggio returning with one final round of The Great Message, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Christine, having experienced these microphones before, you are well aware of how quickly time flies, and this is a kind of flyby, 29 minutes we share together. But I want you to know something. This is the first broadcast for the month of March. And more broadly, it is the first broadcast of my sixth year doing this radio ministry.
Okay.
So we have just completed 5 full years. And my goodness, how time has flown.
Yeah.
I remember when I first discovered radio back in 1973. It was always on in the backdrop. My beautiful mother was a talk radio junkie up in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1973, I discovered a man named Jess Kane on Boston radio. He came out of Northeast Philadelphia. He owned the Boston airwaves for 35 years, and I fell in love with radio, and I longed to have a place in it. And ultimately, God determined I was ready to have a niche. And now 5 full years of manning this microphone, a disembodied voice going across the airwaves. But I'll tell you something, a disembodied voice, and one as lovely as yours now, it carries a kind of austere beauty, which comes also with a kind of power and authority. And you and I are speaking by way of our testimony and by way of my homily of the power of the gospel unto salvation. That's how Paul puts it. I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
It is the power of God unto salvation. I remember when that text first came to me, and it was transformative.
Yes.
Give us a scripture, please. Share with the audience perhaps a favorite scripture that has been helpful and, if not, transformative for you.
Okay. Well, right away, Romans 8:28 comes to mind. And we know that
all things
work together for good for those that are called according to the purpose of God.
And of those who love Him.
That was what I had to hold on to throughout my injury and my rehab. That's what I had to hold on to. And, you know, God does work all things together for good. And that's what I would love to share with people, how He transformed my life. And like I said, I'm happier now than before my accident. You know, I'm so glad that I chose Jesus, because He is so powerful, and He answers prayer.
He does answer prayer, Christine. And you know, when you speak of holding on to Romans 8:28, when you cling to the Word of God, you want to know, and you experience this on a daily basis, the Word of God is operative. In fact, the author of the book of Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. It's dividing soul from spirit and bone from marrow. And God says of His own word from Isaiah, He says, "My word shall not return to me empty.
Mm-hmm.
It shall go forth and shall accomplish all that for which I have purposed it." So when you're clinging to a word from the scripture, That word is operative in your life. And I was just listening to a sermon by the pastor up at Times Square Church in Manhattan. His predecessor, Carter Conlon, was of magnificent value to me. This gentleman is Pastor Tim. And he was saying why it's so important that we read the word. Even if we're reading and it seems mundane and we're getting a little bored, we need to keep reading it because that word is working inside of us.
Yes.
It's always at work. Jesus said, and Jesus is the word made flesh. He says, my Father is at his work and I too am always at mine. And he is again the word made flesh.
Yes.
So you're clinging to the word of God.
Yes. Yes.
What's a favorite song, a spiritual song or hymn of yours?
Okay. I have a song. It's called Friend of a Wounded Heart, and it is done beautifully by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. As soon as I started driving again, that's the first place I went, was up to Brooklyn to see these the church.
They're magnificent.
And the choir was there, and they sang even more beautifully in person. It was wonderful.
I know how the Brooklyn Tabernacle has ministered to you, certainly to many of us, myself included, very much comparable to how Times Square Church across the river has ministered to me. You'll be pleased to know that sometime in the spring, we'll be taking another bus trip up to Brooklyn. Our service ends at 11. I can make it end at 10:30. Their last service is at 1. We can make it.
Yes, I'd
love
to go.
So that's in the offering. You work with animals. I'm just curious. Now, not so overtly spiritual or religious, but just part and parcel of God's common grace and his universal order. You work with the animals. Do you have a favorite?
Well, that's a good question that I get asked all the time, and it's so difficult because every one of them is fascinating, beautiful. Animals are honest, and they are, they're funny. They have their own personalities. But if I think about it, I think a horse might be my favorite animal.
You used to have one, right?
I used to ride one, even with my disability.
Right.
I rode for about 12 years, and then my horse, the horse I used to ride, retired, so I couldn't ride anymore. Of course, COVID came along as well. But I look in the future to ride again.
You say that, I love how you put it, animals are honest. You know, as your lovely aunt knows, as I know, we were talking earlier about this, when we leave our homes, your aunt has a doggy, you and I have kitties, and they just give us that lost, forlorn look.
They do.
And they are honest, if nothing, you know?
Yes.
I think my one guy knew I was leaving because as I was coming up to the third floor to get my notes, a paw whacks me across the face.
Uh-oh. And
he's looking at me, and I'm thinking, you know I'm leaving, don't you? But they are God's gifts to us. I know how your cat was used of God to minister to you when you were in your earliest throes of trauma.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes, and I think maybe even more, I cried for my dog. He was a year old when I left. I raised him from a pup. And I think I just cried for him. I was his mom, you know, and I said, why the heck did I leave? Why did I leave him? I just want to share one little story with you about him. I had just gotten my halo vest off. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but they pierce your skull and have this harness on so you can't move your neck. It's a brace. So I finally got it off after 7 weeks. Make a long story short, they took me out there to see him one day. He lived at a farm, at my friend's farm. And it was muddy, it was raining. I said, let me just put the window down for him. Just let me pet him out the window. And do you know what he did? He jumped right through the window onto my lap. The joy of animals, it just brings me such happiness.
I don't want to go so far as to say that they are made in the image and likeness of God. The Word of God clearly says that's true of humankind. But that being said, everything that God has created has his imprimatur upon it. And when I look at my little cats, I see God in them. I mean,
yes.
I see him as they are his handiwork.
Mm-hmm.
And God can do something like that with your doggy
to
fill you with joy. It's a gift from him.
It is.
I had that when I came back from the Mayo Clinic. Mm-hmm. My cats couldn't wait to see me. I was away for 10 days, and they could not wait to see me. Sadly,
we're their moms and dads.
Yes.
They're our
kids. But
they
are ministering agents sent by God. I'm convinced of it,
That's
and I
right.
know you are
That's
as
right.
well.
They're very soothing. They're like they're therapeutic. Yeah.
Yes, they are, Christine. And, you know, I'll tell you who else is a minister of the gospel sent direct from heaven for this audience. Her name is Christine Del Poggio.
Aww.
I am so pleased that you came today.
I am too. Thank you so much for having me. I loved it. And I look forward to others enjoying our broadcast today and even trusting in Jesus.
Well, we pray that they will, and they can turn to fbccweb.org to hear it off of our church website blog, or Saturdays at 5 a.m. each and every week. But God bless you, Christine.
Thank you. God
Brad
bless
Lacey
you.
And Christine Del Poggio, we bid you God's grace and blessing in every way. Thank you.
Amen.